Hi, this is Michael Itkoff, and you're behind the mic with the SNC Fan Chat. Shazam!
Wow, wow, wow! You're behind the mic with Stradio Chaser. Official podcast show. Yeah! You're behind the mic, Chaser. You're behind the mic for news, interviews, and more. And more. You got all the albums, you came to our show. You live on the website, but still you want more. So Shayna, Kathy, Dave, and Tina, ready to go. SNC Fan Chat, time for the show.
Hey all you chasers, this is Shayna.
This is Kathy.
This is Dave. And unfortunately, Tina is out. Well, Tina's out gallivanting to Tulsa, Oklahoma to catch up with Chaser Patty, and I'm sure that's going to be a heck of a time. But hey, welcome to our lucky 13th episode of SNC Fan Chat Behind the Mic with Straight No Chaser.
We hope all you chasers are doing well out there. Hopefully you're a lot warmer now than you were when we released our last episode.
I know I am. Okay, so we have a fabulous interview for you this week with none other than Mike Itkoff, original member of Straight No Chaser, baritone, and the token Jew of the group. You might know him better as that dreidel guy from the 12 Days video. So, without
dreidel,
further ado...
Dreidel.
You know, I never, like, really knew I don't know the rest of the song other than, like, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of clay. When I'm ready with dreidel, I shall play. And then after that, that's, like, it. Is that it? Is that the song?
I actually heard it at Christmas time on the radio. First time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But without further ado, here is our interview with Mike Itkoff. Enjoy! Hey, Chasers. This is Shayna.
This is Kathy.
And this is Tina with SNC Fan Chat, behind the mic with Straight No Chaser.
We're here with Michael Itkoff, husband, dad, sales rep, burgeoning recording artist. Oh, wait, scratch that last one. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, Mike.
Oh, no, thank you, guys. It's an honor to be on SNC Fan Chat.
All righty. Well, to start us off, Mike, could you tell us how you got involved with Straight No Chaser at Indiana University?
Sure. It's actually a really funny story. I joined the Singing Hoosiers my freshman year at Indiana. And by complete coincidence, I was sat next to Dan Ponce in the risers, like during rehearsals and stuff. And we had to share a binder of music. And the only reason that we became friends, really good friends, is because we had to share music every single time during rehearsals. So we started talking. In fact, I remember he had to go through, he was pledging his fraternity that first semester, and he stunk so bad several times, and I had to share this with him, and that was bad. But either way, we became good friends, and he heard me sing. And I remember him telling me right around the middle of that freshman year that he was thinking about starting an a cappella group, and I told him I'd love to be involved. And I think later, a few years later, he said, you know, the only reason I think I invited you was because of me being able to hear you sing during that year that we shared music and singing Hoosier. So that's how I came to be in Straight No Chaser. I remember the first rehearsal. I didn't know a lot of the guys that that he had chosen. I didn't know DR very well. I didn't know Charlie all that well. And I didn't really know Steve because he was a freshman. I didn't know him at all. But that's the reason why I'm in Straight No Chaser.
Oh, wow. That is a funny story.
Yeah.
All right, so what was your reaction when you heard that the 12 Days video had gone viral? And do you remember exactly what you were doing when you got the phone call from Randy about the recording contract?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, by now it's kind of obvious. Everybody was just sort of shocked and in awe of the whole experience, because Randy had sent us the video before the reunion concert. And I don't remember the year now, but it was before the 10-year reunion concert. And so we were kind of watching it a little bit. And I remember that very first Christmas, before the Christmas it got really big, it got to 100,000 views. And by the end of that first Christmas where it got to 100,000 views, we were all sort of emailing back and forth going, oh, that's really cool, 100,000 views. Who would have thought, you know, that many people would watch it? And the next Christmas, when it got to 6 or 7 million, is when everybody was like, what? What is going to happen to this? And we all were going back and forth, and Randy's calling me all the time saying, I got a call from a producer who wants us to do a concert. He's willing to pay for this HD video shoot of us to perform one time only and put it on TV, and all these little things, like people wanting it to represent us and people thinking they could send us out on tour, but nothing as big as what happened when Craig Kalman called him. And that, I remember where what was happening. My wife and I and son were sitting in our townhome on New Year's Day and just watching TV and just not really doing anything. And Randy called and he asked me, are you sitting down? And this was New Year's Day, so I don't think he had told everybody else. He called Dan and he called me and we were just talking and he said, I got a call from Craig Kalman. It was the most unbelievable call I've ever had in my life. And he sort of told me everything in the last hour call he had with Craig about what he wanted to do with Straight No Chaser, how he wanted to bring us all back together, how he wanted to record music with us and send us out on tour, wanted us to be, you know, the next Michael Bublé or the next Take Six or something like that, and how he wanted us to start an a cappella game show, and all of these ideas that he kind of told Randy in that very first call that Randy told me. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was absolutely insane. Who in their right mind would think that they would take these guys with a video from 98, years older at that point, and turn them into a record, a recording artist, and do everything that's now reality. And that's even more amazing that now everything that he wanted to do with Straight No Chaser is happening. So to answer your question, just shock. And that's exactly what happened where I was.
Wow, amazing.
Speaking of the 12 Days video, how on earth did the dreidel song get put into the 12 Days song?
Well, it's because I was the only Jew in the group.
So was that your
idea? Had to show a little love.
Was that your idea?
Well, you know what I think it was? I can't remember for certain, but I think it was my idea. And I remember when we started doing that arrangement, the end of the original arrangement of that song was sort of lackluster. And that's how the dreidel song and Africa kind of came into being. And I'm sure you've heard this story before, but the reason we did Africa at the end of 12 Days is because Africa was the most requested song that we did in Straight No Chaser in college. Everybody wanted to hear the song Africa. And by the time we did that concert where we performed 12 Days, we were so tired of performing Africa at every concert that we were like, let's just put it at the end of this Christmas song. That way we can get out of the way and not even do it. And it turned into obviously what it is today, which is hilarious. Like, where did this come from moment at the end of 12 Days? And the dreidel song, you know, made it in there because I had to show some love.
You did. Represent.
Represent, exactly.
So, are you telling me that Walt is not really Jewish? Does that mean that Walt is a liar and Ryan's not? is that what you're saying? Because I thought that's what I heard.
Well, I'm not confirming nor denying anything. I can't say anything at this point. My lips are sealed, but if I were a betting man, I think Walters gets a Christmas tree every year.
All right. So when the group was formed back at Indiana University, what were some of your favorite highlights from performing?
I think getting to go and sing in Carnegie Hall was a really amazing experience in college. Mm. We competed in an a cappella competition, a national competition, and it was our very first time entering. And it was the spring after we released Last Call, which was the concert that 12 Days of Christmas was performed at. And we went to this competition first at University of Illinois, which were like the regionals, and then to Washington University in St. Louis, which were the semifinals, and then Carnegie Hall were the finals for the nation. And that was just an amazing experience. I remember going with my parents and my sisters, and we went to New York, and everybody was there, and just going into that venue was amazing, and being able to say that we had sung at Carnegie Hall was just something that nobody in the group would have imagined happening, and all of us were pretty in awe that it did happen. So I'd say that was a pretty big highlight. Our very first show at Dance Marathon, the very first show we did at Straight No Chaser in college, was something none of us will ever forget. It was like 3 in the morning. Some of these people, I'll give you a little background on Dance Marathon. It's like a 72-hour fundraiser where people just dance for 72 hours straight to raise money for charity. And they bring in bands to keep people excited and keep people awake and having fun. And we were like at 4 in the morning on some random day, like 2.5 days into it. So these people were exhausted and tired. And then we got up. And I remember the reaction of the crowd when we started singing was just incredible. Because these people were exhausted, but they were so excited to see us. And we were so excited to be performing for them. So that was amazing. And I think after that show, we all realized, I think we're kind of onto something here. We sort of had something cool and different. And we figured, let's just keep doing this and see what happens with it. And it just started. And it took us, obviously, to places we could have never imagined.
That where you guys learned some of your world famous choreography?
We didn't learn, debuted our world choreography at those concerts. But yeah, that stuff was, it just kind of organically grew from there. And now, of course, we have major stars approaching us to learn the choreography that Straight No Chaser pioneered.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about some of your favorite highlights from performing with the group when you guys were with Atlantic Records?
With Atlantic, I think, you know, going on to Christmas in Washington, we did this special where Dr. Phil and his wife hosted, and we performed with Darius Rucker and Julianne Hough and Casting Crowns. And that was really, and Kristen Chenoweth, now that I remember, that was really cool because we were nobodies, and they treated us like we were royalty. That was the coolest thing. You know, we had a green room with food, and you can imagine how 10 guys in a room with free food looks like. That was great. And they just treated us really well, and we felt like celebrities. And it was the first time I think we realized this could be, you know, this could be a feeling that we could have over and over again. And then sitting up and performing for the First Lady of the United States, Laura Bush at the time, who was extremely gracious. We got to meet her and take pictures with her. And then going back home and seeing it all on television with our friends and family was really, really cool. So that was one of my favorite highlights. Also performing the national anthem at the Green Bay Packers game in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where it's like 4 degrees and guys are sitting on the sidelines with no shirts on and can't imagine how they're doing this stuff. And just being in that environment, and the fans at Lambeau Field were just so great and so welcoming to us, and watching the game and doing stuff at the halftime show. I think those are the two big things that I'll remember when I was with the group and with Atlantic.
Okay, so how did you first become interested in music, and specifically a cappella?
I've been interested in music all my life. And, you know, it's funny, nobody in my family's really into music like I am. So I just sort of taught myself. I wasn't, you know, given lessons in voice or anything. I did take piano, and I wasn't very good when I was little, and I still am not very good. But but I've always been interested in singing and music. And so it just sort of, it's one of those things I just kept doing. I didn't do it completely seriously forever, but I just always had it in my life. I was always in choir. I was always doing plays. I was always in musical theater stuff. And I always wanted it to be some part of my life. Never in a million years would I have thought about it as a professional career, but I always had it in my life. Just got interested in singing and music all around there. And so when I got to Indiana, I wanted to join something, and that's how I ended up joining the Singing Hoosiers, and that's how I ended up joining Straight No Chaser. So it's just kind of been with me for forever, since I was 3 years old.
Does anybody get to hear your lovely voice now?
Oh, yeah, my wife and my son. and, you know, we have a daughter on the way, so she gets to hear my voice a lot.
Aww,
yeah.
Congratulations.
You heard it here first. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
We're official now. We're leaking information.
Yeah, you guys are getting the scoop now.
Wow.
So definitely good stuff happening. So they get to hear my voice, and, you know, I do a little at work. I use it as almost a novelty at work now. Like, I sing, and then, you know, I'll bust out a song or something for somebody to entertain them.
Nice.
It's very cool. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, how did you get your nickname, Shike?
Well, let me ask you guys, what have you heard? How did I get my nickname, Shike?
We weren't sure we should even ask this question.
Well,
I don't want to open that can of worms, dude.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I was just remembering the first webisode on YouTube. That it had everybody's nicknames on there. But I have no idea how it came into being, so I was just wondering.
Well, when we were in college, we did If I Ever Fall in Love with by Shy. You know the song that goes, ooh, ba-da-doo-doo. You know that song?
Right.
No?
Yes. Yeah.
So I would start the song, and Walt would blow the pitch on his pitch pipe, and then inevitably I would somehow sing a little higher. I would go sharp. And so always, and I would go sharp to the point where, since I was the first soloist, Jerome would have to follow me, and he would hate it because he would have to sing so high. And Walt would have to sing so much higher in his solo. And Steve would have to sing so much higher in his solo, they would just be mad. So they started calling me Sharp Mike or Shut Up.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Hilarious. Oh, that's great.
Wow. Okay, I'm just going to throw a question in there because this is just a teeny question. Where did the Shazam Damn It come from?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What?
Shazam Damn It. Do they do it in a webisode or something?
It's actually at the end of the Live at the Musical Arts Center. Like, you guys are in the studio and you're doing, I think this is how we do it. And someone just keeps saying, Shazam, damn it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know exactly what it was from. I think it's probably we had a really good take. Was it a video of us in the studio?
Yes.
I think we had a really good take. You know what I'm trying to think? When we were recording Last Call and we did This Is How We Do It, there's a breakdown in the middle. And This Is How We Do It has elements of other songs in it. So it has elements from Motown Philly, and it has elements from No Diggity. And I think the Motown Philly breakdown, we were listening to the breakdown, you know, after we recorded it, and we were all excited because it sounded really good at the take that we did. Or somebody was watching somebody else record it, and it was just perfect. And I think somebody just was like, Shazam, damn it, at the end of it. Because it was just so good.
Gotcha, gotcha. Sorry, I
just so that's the best.
It's been stuck in my head since then. So I had to ask.
I hope I answered your curiosity.
Yes, I can officially sleep at night now. Thank you.
Good.
So for SNC fans listening to this podcast, if you can remember back on the SNC's website, and we've referenced it a couple of times, some webisodes that the guys have put out. Well, one of those webisodes where they were, I think, recording from Holiday Spirit, Mike, yourself, and a few of the guys were brainstorming of group names using the letters S&C. Some of those names were Cells No CDs, S&C Sucks. So let me ask you this. How far out do you think we are before this group will come to fruition? And
oh,
is
the
group
the
close
group?
Enough to... Yes, the hate group. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, I don't know. We might be there. Yeah, there might be something lurking on the internet right as we speak. I may be the one doing it. I'm not going to deny it. But I don't know. I mean, the guys are so likable. How could they
anybody
hate them? But you're going to have people that are not going to find it good. I remember when Randy was getting all the comments on 12 Days of Christmas. he had to personally go through all the comments and approve or deny them. And we got a ton of comments from people that were like, this is stupid, and, you know, making some stupid messages about what they thought about it. So there's always going to be haters. And some people are just not going to get it. And it's funny, I remember when we first started the Atlantic thing, I remember thinking, if you describe what we're doing to somebody, they wouldn't even have any clue what it's all about, and they would have a totally different idea of what a contemporary a cappella group would look like, sound like, act like, and what a show like that would be. So it's almost like if you heard about what Strano Chaser is doing without hearing them or seeing them, you'd think, oh, my God, another barbershop quartet or a dorky a cappella group, what's that going to be all about? But the cool part about it is once you see it, you kind of get it. And it's different. It's different from what you're thinking. And I know you guys are big fans of live shows, mm-hmm. and I think everybody should get the opportunity mm-hmm. to go and see a live show, because not only do you get to hear the songs that you like on the album, but you get to see how it's all done on stage, and then you get to see the interaction between the guys. So in a roundabout way to answer your question about the S&C sucks, I mean, it's going to happen. But I think there's enough fans, obviously there's way more people that find it interesting and cool than the people who don't. So they're not far off, but they're definitely not worthy of that kind of treatment.
Absolutely. Watch out, Bieber. They're still in your thunder. Move over.
Oh, they're almost there. I think they're almost there. Right. Look at Charlie's hair these days. I think he kind of looks like Justin Bieber.
I'm so glad you said that. I was thinking the exact same thing. Great minds think alike.
Of course. Great minds do think alike.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. When you announced the group that you were leaving, what hopes did you have for the group as they continued on with Atlantic Records?
You know, that was really tough. That was probably the toughest thing I've ever had to do in my life, because I love it so much. I loved performing, and I love these guys, and I loved everything that Strano Chaser did. For me, it just happened about 5 years too late. I mean, when all this came down, I already had Charlie, my son. I already had a life for myself in Atlanta that I loved. And, you know, when they made the decision to leave, it was like divorcing nine of your best friends, and that's what it felt like. But what I did it for is to give the guys an opportunity to really have somebody in the group, and obviously now Seggy and Tyler and now Don have really gotten a chance to fulfill the promise of Strano Chaser. So all I wanted for them was to be as successful as they possibly could be. And every time I talk to anybody in the group, I get to hear all the fun things they're doing and what they're planning on and what's coming down the pipeline. And I'm just excited for them. I wanted everything for them. And I could see it even when I was in the group, that if they worked hard enough and were good enough to their fans and did what we did in college, which was just entertain and perform and have fun on stage, they were going to be successful. And that's all I wanted for them when I left. And I think they've already achieved that, and they're just continuing to do it more and more every day.
Wow. That's great.
Tear. You can wipe your eyes.
Like, thank you for making me cry. I appreciate that.
I'm crying, too, inside.
Okay, I don't feel so bad now.
Okay, so what's your favorite part about watching the guys perform while sitting in the audience as a fan?
My favorite part is watching for the little things that nobody else notices, like watching for nuances that I remember from on stage, people giving each other a look or laughing at something in a song that I remember we sang together. Those are fun. I love seeing the guys sing on stage. You know, it's just cool. It's like, it's bittersweet, to be completely honest, because I want to be on stage. But at the same time, I'm like a proud dad, and I want to be, you know, watching them all do well and have fun. And it's just neat for me to see other people enjoy what I loved doing and what I love doing. So to see other people enjoy it and to also get the experience, because when I was in the group, and I can say this for everybody, you don't get a sense of why it's so likable. because you're on stage, you know you're having fun, and you know the audience is having fun, but you don't really get it. Like, what is it about Strainer Chaser that's so appealing? But when you're in the audience, you get a chance to see. You get a chance to see Jerome hamming it up on Poison and Billie Jean. And you get a chance to see Charlie introducing everything and just cracking people up. And on stage, it's a different feeling than it's in the audience. And it's infectious. It's really fun. So I love watching them. And every time I get a chance to see him, I do. But yeah, of course, I'd love to be on stage with him too, doing the same thing.
Okay, so do you have a favorite song that they perform at the concerts?
You know, I don't, because they keep changing it up on me. I wish I had a favorite song. They keep changing things up and adding new stuff, and now I don't know anything they do anymore, which sucks. there's a lot of stuff that I like that they do. One thing I think that separates Strainer Chaser from other groups that do a cappella music is that they know when to be serious and they know when to have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think some of those serious songs like a Prayer or Fix You or there's a new song they're doing, the Rolling Stones, Miss You, mm-hmm. That are all really, really good. And it shows off how good they are. You know, how good they are musically and how good they are blending with each other. And then you get songs like the sitcom medley or the cartoon medley that they just started doing. And then some of the stuff they do where they just make fun of themselves that are hilarious, you know. And the Lady Gaga medley, which I just saw for the first time in Jacksonville. I'd heard the arrangement, and it's funny. When they do arrangements sometimes, especially if Walt arranges it, Walt will do the arrangement of him doing all the parts. So you'll hear a recording of Walt singing all the parts of the song that they're about to learn. And so I got to hear the Lady Gaga version of Walt doing the Lady Gaga medley all by himself, all 10 parts. It was just hilarious. I mean, it's just hilarious. I think we even came up with the name of the group that Walt would be in. And I think it was like Walter Chase and the Air Tights was the name of the group. So every time they do an arrangement with Walt, who arranges it, you get to hear his version. So I get to see that. Like, I heard the arrangement, like, and then 4 months later saw it on stage with choreography, and it was just funny. It was hilarious. It reminded me of the stuff we did in college.
Like your friend Walter Chase, do you also feel like you could just tackle Ryan Albert the next time you see him in an empty hallway?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I would love to tackle Ryan Allward anywhere in the empty hallway. The guy needs tackling. There's a few guys whose asses I'd love to kick, really. And all joking, though. Did Walt say that he would tackle Ryan Allward in the hallway?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That is awesome. Oh, yeah. The guys are so funny. And you know by now, they all have their own individual personalities that all sort of play off each other. Ryan's just a hoot. And what's great about Ryan is that I didn't really know him until the Atlantic thing came together. And I thank God for the Atlantic thing, or I would never have found out how funny a guy he is. He is freaking hilarious. He can do any voice you can possibly imagine. He's probably got an imitation of everybody in the group, including me. I've heard his imitation. I know exactly what it sounds like. And, the guy is just hilarious. He's like walking sitcom. He can do every voice. He can do voices from Family Guy and Simpsons. And if it weren't for the Atlantic deal, I would never have gotten to know him. So that's been very cool. And, of course, the same goes with Luganbill. I never would have gotten to know that guy either. And they've become really good friends of mine. But would I tackle him in Hall? Oh, yeah, in a moment.
Okay, so on Twitter, I think a few months ago, you had been talking about something about maybe like a funk band that you're doing or you're singing for in Florida. So how are things going with that?
They're actually pretty good. Sort of starting a little something here. I don't know where it's going to go. You know, it's a little bit less time commitment than Strainer Chaser was. you know, my job, I meet people all the time and you know, just so people know what I do, I sell medical devices. And I was actually at a hospital, and one of the managers of one of the labs in the hospital was in a band, and they were looking for a lead singer. And this is right after I just moved down here, because I just moved here from Atlanta. And I said, I sing. I just, you know, I love singing. If you guys are looking for somebody, I'd love to come out. So I came out and auditioned, and when I got there, I didn't know the name of the band. I knew they did funk music. But when I got there, I walked in, I go, well, what's the name of your band? And he's like, oh, it's What the Funk. And I was like, oh, I want in. That's a great name. I have to be in this. I mean, what better name than What the Funk for a funk band? It's perfect. So what we've been doing is it's really been minimal. We've had a gig so far, only one, and I think we have another one coming up in a couple of months. And it's just literally like party music, stuff you hear at a wedding or a bar mitzvah or, you know, just fun stuff. So it's just an outlet because, and Dan and I were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago, but we can't get performing out of us. You know, it's something that you got to always want to do, and it's hard to just break it. It's like cigarettes. You can't just stop singing. You can't just stop smoking. So we're trying to, you know, each of us in our own way, trying to kind of hold on to something a little bit. So it gives me an outlet to really be creative and have fun performing and be on stage. And, you know, it's not the same, but it's still pretty fun. So we've just been rehearsing a little bit, and we did one show back in December and at a local place down here. And we've got another gig coming up in May. And so I'll just kind of have some fun with it. It doesn't take up a lot of time, and it's fun, you know.
Oh, that's great.
And it's got a great name. I mean, how can you?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Make sure you enunciate that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For you kiddos, it's FUNK.
So what do you personally think it is about Straight Knit Chaser, the group, that draws such a loyal fan base?
I think it's the genuine nature of the guys. I think it's what it comes down to. It's not fake. It's not put together by some marketing genius in a cubicle. It's just 10 guys who are huge friends and have great, huge talent that get on stage and have fun with each other. I mean, if there wasn't an audience, it wouldn't matter. The guys would sing and be as funny, and as it's like if a tree falls in the forest, would you hear it? You would hear Straight No Chaser, and they would be just having just as much fun with or without an audience, and that's exactly why it's so appealing, because you come in, you feel like you have gotten on the inside of the situation, like you have a first-class ticket to what happens on the inside of these guys' relationship. And it just happens to be during a performance. So I think that's what makes it so appealing. It's what made it so appealing in college. And the same thing holds true now. So as long as they remain genuine, as long as they remain true to themselves, and I think they always will, and it's hard not to, then they'll always have people that just love them. Because it's infectious, you know, when you see Jerome get up and he starts doing his little Michael Jackson impression, it's hard not to laugh and smile. When you see somebody making fun of somebody else during an intro, you know, you realize, you're like, I'm not really at a show. I'm kind of hanging out with my friends, and they're singing for me.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Great. Yep. Right on.
Breaking on down, Mike. Breaking on down.
Breaking on down. We're getting deep now.
So since this is the S&C Fan Chat, I have to ask, how has Straight No Chaser's fans impacted you personally?
Well, they've actually done some really cool stuff, actually. Just showing the outpouring of support from people like you for the guys, it's really special. You know, I don't think any group can exist without fans. It's like a symbiotic relationship. You perform for the fans, and the fans keep you going. It's like watching a basketball game, and you win because the people are cheering so loudly. It's the same idea here. And so, you know, for me, now that I'm both a fan and a former member of the group, I get to see, I saw both sides of it. And for me, you guys, just being on here today makes me feel excited. So it's just cool to know there's people out there that get it, and they support you, and they want to see you do well. And it's that kind of support and that excitement that I'm sure drives the guys to do better every single day, and get drives them to do more and do things like go to Canada in February. I mean, what were they thinking?
I think California would have been a better choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kathy, you were right on. California would be so much better. Canada, I mean, seriously, some of them need their head checks when they book that tour. But you know, just doing little things for the guys, be it a poster or baked goods or cookies, and believe me, they love cookies and baked goods, and any little things to show that you care. And the things that you guys have done for me and the fans have done for me, even though I'm not in the group, it's pretty cool. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you made a difference in somebody's life. And it puts a smile on my face. So I'm huge, huge thanks for you guys for making me feel that way.
Oh, little shucky ducky.
Oh, here come the tears again.
Here come the tears.
This is like a water wars.
Well, there are three girls, so that's right.
No, we're
three
Jason
females.
Today?
So
what is he doing? He opted out of the sincere interview.
Do you have any memorable fan experiences that you'd like to share?
Oh,
like,
I think
when we say
Atlantic
memorable,
City.
We mean like crazy.
That's
what memorable quote unquote means.
Are you talking about with Atlantic or with college or what?
Or both.
Or
I mean
any. Any.
That would be me, all of the above.
We had a person in college that was like a stalker and would come to every shows, whether they were invited or not, and like stay along backstage, or like pretending that they were friends with us. And it got to the point where it was like, oh, seriously, we're just guys in your classes. Like, I saw you in economics. We're not here. Get over it. We're just performing, having fun. That was memorable, but fun and in its own way kind of cool. And then since the group became part of Atlantic, I think for me the Atlantic City show that I went and saw, and all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Shayna, I know you weren't there, but we wish you were. And you'll get your chance. I know you will.
I hope so.
Oh, you will. And just having all of you there to see what it is, what's it all like, and have you guys talk to me and seeing your interaction with the guys.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And watching just how excited you were to be there to watch Strano Chaser. So I think that's definitely a big memory for me.
A couple of, I guess it was not last week, this past week, but the week before that, there was this whole Baritones Appreciation Week that the Chasers threw for past and present members, Baritones, of the Atlantic group. So I was wondering, what did you think about Beep Week?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved it, especially to use a Strano Chaser-ism beep for the week, too. That was very cool. No, it made me feel great. It made me feel great just to be included in it. And I know all the guys appreciate it because, you know, when you're, you know, for me, not being in the group, it's not as big of a deal because I'm not doing what they're doing every single day. But for them, especially, since they're on tour, you know, they don't get to see their families. You know, people need a little support now and then, especially a little bit extra support. So, you know, to recognize different members of the group, especially all the baritones, which is clearly the best part of the group. The backbone of Strano Chaser would not exist without baritones is pretty cool. And I know Seggy and Don and Dan and I and DR all really appreciate everything that you guys did that week. And it made me feel good. You know, it's like opening up your Facebook and you seeing somebody commented something on you or gave you a little message. You know, I love it. You love that stuff.
Okay. Mike Itkoff, please, for the love of God, for chasers everywhere, young and small, old, please help us understand the chaserism beat. Because I get asked that more than anything else besides, are you really black? Like, what does beat mean exactly?
What?
You mean the word beat?
Yeah. The Chaserism beat. So we can just put it out there once and for all.
Okay, let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Like, we just celebrated Beep Week. Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm. No. No. I mean, like, when you guys do something and you use the word beep.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just honking your own horn. Like, when you're honking your own horn, the horn goes beep. That's all.
I understand this. I'm just saying, you know, people ask me that all the time. I'm just like, oh, I'm not one of those. Ask my Itkoff. He loves answering questions. Just flood his Facebook inbox with those stuff.
Yeah, you can funnel all Strain of Chaser questions through me and my Facebook if you want. But seriously, beep was actually something that didn't come on, like, into fashion until, like, right around the time I was leaving the group in Atlantic. So I don't have a whole lot of history with beep. There are way older things that we talk about than beep. But I think Luganville started it, to be honest with you. And it was people just honking their own horns and saying stuff like, oh, I ran a, you know, I ate a banana split and then went and ran 6 miles. Beep, because you're just proud of yourself. So that's exactly where it came from.
Oh, thank you for clearing that up. And now you're gonna be flooded with, like, all these questions on Facebook. And then you can blame Tina for it, because
I'm just going to turn around and blame Carla, so.
I was going to say, I know that
circle.
We can always blame Carla for everything, so. Let's go for it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much again for such an awesome chat. We really had such a great time talking with you, Mike.
Me too. You guys are awesome. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, one last thing before you leave. Do you have anything you want to say to the fans who are listening to the podcast right now?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you guys do for Straight No Chaser. They would not exist without you. And I know it from being in the group, and I know it from being out of the group. I think the guys need people to want to like Straight No Chaser. They need people to want to see them do better. You know, not just to see them perform or record a new album or sing together. You know, the guys really rely on the fans to keep them going. I mean, think about that, how many cities they toured last fall. They went to 75 cities in 4 months, didn't get breaks, didn't see their families. And the only reason they were able to get through it all is because of fans. So if anything, do whatever it is you're doing and keep on doing it, because it makes the whole process that much cooler, and it makes Straight No Chaser that much stronger. So thank you, guys.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for talking with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys.
Absolute blast. It was everything I hoped for, and then some.
So what did you think about the interview? Did you enjoy it? Be sure to let us know. Send us an email at sncfanchat@gmail.com. We would really love to hear from you.
And by the way, guys, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for that interview, but, man, what a great conversation with Mike Itkoff. Thanks again for bringing that to all of us chasers, Shayna.
Anytime. All right, and now on to news. So Straight No Chaser just finished their Canada tour, and I heard that it was a big success and that everybody up north had a great time and enjoyed the concerts with Straight No Chaser. And just so you all know, there is a blog post up where Ryan kind of recaps their experience in Canada and in the UK, and apparently it was very, very cold and like negative 74 degrees. I don't know. But he did say that because of so many generous donations, Straight No Chaser was able to sponsor over 40 children with World Vision. So to all of you that donated and to all of you that contributed to that, just want to say great congratulations and great job for being able to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. And what a nice little thing you guys are doing with that World Vision. And to our listeners, honestly, I didn't know much about World Vision. Just hop over to www.worldvision.com. org, O-R-G. And really nice thing, guys.
Yep. Okay, and they also were just back from, well, after they finished their Canada tour, they had like a week or so off, and then they hopped on over, or a couple days actually, maybe. But then after that, they hopped on over to the UK to promote the release, the UK release of With a Twist. And the CD that was released over there includes a bonus track, Only You, which features actually Dawn on the song. So I was told that that's the only, like, on the CD, that's the song, that's the only song with Dawn on it. But we were trying to figure out a way to get it here in, or for non-UK Chaser fans. But unfortunately, there's no way for anybody to get it as of yet. I'm sure that somehow or another, there'll be a way to be able to get it sometime. I'm not sure when. But I was on Amazon.com, and I did see that they do have the UK release of With a Twist available, but it is out of stock, at least for the Amazon.com for the US. So I'm not sure if that CD will include the bonus track or not, but we will be sure to keep you posted and let you know what we find out when we find out. So, yeah.
Cool.
And also, when they were in the UK, they did a photo shoot for Atlantic City and maybe the website, some promo pictures. And get this, you guys, there are bow ties involved, and not just like spiffy bow ties, just like tied all nicely and like clean and pristine, but they're like undone bow ties. That's so Rat Pack. Isn't that cool? Sorry, little fangirl moment.
Just a piece of material hanging around the neck. Is that what I'm going to say? I mean, I'm not a bow tie guy. I mean, last bow tie I had, it was a clip on. I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to imagine. I'm just trying to imagine their next concert attire suits with bow ties.
Yeah. So you know, Shana.
Pretty spiffy.
Yeah, real spiffy. But Shana, you were talking about UK and the release of the With a Twist CD. For our fans, our UK fans, again, tickets. Coming up, London with Barry Manilow, May 4th, May 5th, and May 6th, and May 7th. Tickets are available. Hop over to SNCmusic.com, click the tickets or click the tour, and you'll see the concerts, and click on get tickets. And believe it or not, you can buy tickets here in the States. I don't know how the conversion goes, but if I'm reading it right, if I got that little funny symbol right, I think it's 28 to 82 pounds. Is that the right currency, pounds, over there?
I thought they'd have something else now.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a euro, but I don't know if
the UK, or I know that at least England, I don't think uses. Oh. I think they still use the pound.
Okay.
Yeah. So London still uses pounds?
I have no idea.
I think so.
Okay.
Think
well,
so.
It's 28 to 82 pounds that tickets are going for. So I don't know if that's a lot or if it's cheap. I really don't know. So.
I really don't know either.
Hey, and I'm also talking about tickets, guys. Don't forget Gettysburg Fest, June 10th, Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and then Chautauqua, Mayville, New York, August 5th. Tickets available, so go on over to sncmusic.com and check out the availability of tickets for them things, those concerts. Really good time, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Oh, Shana.
Yes.
Something else this week was announced, our new Chaser of the Month. So accolades go out to Kimberly Davis, a.k.a. Clancy 96. So.
Woo! Yay, Kim.
So congratulations, Kimberly. Well-deserved. Kimberly's a very good friend of all of ours, and really well-deserving of this title, Chaser of the Month for March of 2011.
Yay.
Definitely. Congratulations, Kim.
Yay, way to go. Okay, thanks to everyone that has filled out a form to the Ellen DeGeneres Show. We haven't heard from her people yet, but we haven't lost hope. Keep bombarding her with messages about our favorite a cappella group.
Yeah, make sure that you keep them coming because we've been trying so hard and we just want to refocus all that energy and try and get them to actually listen to us would be nice. So, I mean, I don't know. But don't you guys think it would be so great to see them on Ellen? I do.
Oh,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, just hop over to Facebook and do a search, Get Straight No Chaser on Ellen. And we'd love to see you over there. Over 1,600 members strong, so thanks to everybody for their help.
Yep. And now time for Make Some Noise. So we want to hear from you, Chasers. Last episode, wrong kind of noise. But last episode, we asked you if you had any questions that you'd like to ask the members of Straight No Chaser. So we want you guys to keep sending over your questions because we know that you must have some questions that you want answered. So send them our way, and we might use them for our next interview. So send them to us via email at sncfanchat@gmail.com. Tweet them to us to @sncfanchat, or post them on our Facebook wall, and we will be sure to try and answer all of your questions if we know them. And if not, then we'll try and ask the guys, and maybe they can answer some of those questions for us. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's all we've got for you for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to send us any feedback to our email address, sncfanchat@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, you can't please any of the people, any of the time.
Take care, folks. We'll see you again.
All right, bye-bye.
So, Shana, Kathy, Dave, and Tina, ready to go. SNC Fan Chat, time for the show.